Welcome to episode one of our new series, Anti-Aging and Longevity. I'm your host, Lena Carter, and joining me as always is Dr. Samuel Clark, molecular biologist and leading expert in peptide and cellular aging research. In today's episode, we're stepping into one of the most fascinating frontiers of modern science, cellular longevity. As labs around the world dive deeper into the mechanisms of aging, two peptides continue to stand out in experimental models, Epithalon and FOXO4-DRI. These compounds are reshaping how researchers study telomere support, cellular senescence, and long-term tissue integrity. We'll break down the molecular science behind both peptides, explore how they function in controlled research environments, and discuss why sourcing from reputable suppliers like BC9 is essential for accuracy, purity, and repeatable outcomes. So if you're ready to explore the evolving science of aging one peptide, one pathway, one breakthrough at a time, stay with us. This episode sets the stage for everything to come. Let's get started. Okay, so let's unpack this a bit. Our mission today is really a deep dive into these two specific molecules, Epithalon and FOXO4-DRI. We want to understand their distinct roles, right? And how they might complement each other in this whole area of cellular longevity.
Absolutely. And for you listening, the idea is to get a good handle on the basic science pretty quickly and, you know, understand why these two compounds are generating so much buzz among researchers right now.
Right, because the field itself has moved incredibly fast.
Oh, definitely. What's fascinating is we've really shifted. You know, we're moving past just general ideas about aging and really zeroing in on very precise molecular stuff, how cells age, how they fix themselves, or how they handle damage at that tiny level.
And these two peptides are key tools for that kind of specific work.
Exactly. They let researchers probe two really critical pathways that are, well, defining this edge of the science.
So before we jump into the peptides themselves, maybe let's just set the scene properly. When we talk about cellular longevity research, what's the fundamental problem researchers are trying to solve? What are we actually looking at?
Okay, yeah. So cellular longevity research at its core is focused on how cells can maintain their stability, basically, how they avoid aging prematurely and keep doing their biological jobs correctly over time.
So it's about resilience at the cellular level.
Precisely. And when you look at what drives aging deep down in the cell, you see, well, researchers generally focus on about five major pathways, or you could say points of failure.
Five main culprits, then.
You could put it that way. First, there's telomeres, shortening those protective DNA caps getting worn down. Second, cellular senescence, that cells becoming damaged and dysfunctional but sticking around.
The zombie cells we hear about?
Exactly. Then third, DNA damage, just building up the repair systems can't keep up. Fourth is declining mitochondrial function, so the cell's power plants start failing. And fifth, chronic inflammation, this sort of constant low-grade stress state.
Wow. Okay, that sounds like a multi-front battle inside every cell.
It really is. And the key thing here is that as cells get older, they gradually lose their ability to divide properly or fix themselves or even just keep their metabolism stable.
And that decline in the cells leads directly to tissues breaking down.
Correct. That's the link. This cellular decline, driven by those five factors, contributes directly to tissue deterioration and, you know, the functional losses we associate with aging.
Which brings us back to the tools.
Right. The exciting part is that researchers are now developing tools, like these peptides, to try and specifically influence these pathways. And that's exactly where Epithalon and FOXO4-DRI come into the picture in the lab.
Okay, let's start with Epithalon then. Sometimes called Epitalon, right? It seems like one of the veterans in this field.
It is, yeah. One of the earliest and most studied peptides for lifespan research. It's a synthetic tetrapeptide, so four amino acids, and it's derived from a natural substance linked to the pineal gland.
And what's its main job, so to speak, in these research models?
Epitalon's primary target is what you could call the cell's biological clock, specifically the telomeres.
Okay, telomeres. Remind us quickly what those are.
Sure. Think of your chromosomes like shoelaces. The telomeres are the little plastic tips, the aglets, at the ends. They protect the important genetic information. But here's the thing. Every time a cell divides, those telomere tips get a tiny bit shorter. It acts like a countdown. Eventually, they get too short, and the cell gets the signal. Time's up. Stop dividing.
Which leads to that replicative senescence. The cell can't divide healthily anymore.
Exactly. So Epithalon is evaluated in lab settings, in vitro mostly, for its potential ability to influence an enzyme called telomerase.
And telomerase is the enzyme that maintains those tips.
Correct. Telomerase is responsible for preserving telomere length, sometimes even adding a bit back. So by studying how Epithalon might stimulate telomerase activity, researchers are basically asking, can we help maintain those shoelace tips for longer? can we potentially extend the cell's healthy replicative lifespan?
Interesting. So the research is really focused on maintenance, on supporting the cell's fundamental structure for division. What other angles are being looked at with Epithelon?
Well, beyond those core telomere support models in cell cultures, there are a couple of other key areas. One is its potential as an antioxidant.
Ah, tackling oxidative stress, like cellular rust.
Good analogy. Yeah, oxidative stress causes a lot of molecular damage. Cell culture experiments suggest Epithelon might help reduce markers of that damage. So it could be protecting the cell in that way, too.
So potentially helping maintain the structure and reducing immediate damage.
That's the idea being explored. And the third main area is protein regulation. Researchers are looking at how Epithelon interacts with various protein networks inside the cell, ones involved in overall stability, mitochondrial efficiency, the power supply again, and even processes like apoptosis, which is programmed cell death.
So it seems pretty foundational looking at basic cellular health and longevity mechanisms.
Very much so. It's a tool for exploring how to keep the cell's core systems running smoothly for longer.
Okay, that covers the sort of maintenance and support angle. Now let's switch gears to FRXO4DRI. This sounds like it takes a totally different approach, more aggressive.
Yeah, you could say that. It's less about maintenance and more about targeted removal. Cellular cleanup, essentially.
And it targets those senescent zombie cells we talked about earlier.
Exactly. It deals directly with cellular senescence. Remember, these are damaged cells that stop dividing, which might sound okay, but they don't die like they're supposed to.
They just hang around.
They hang around. And worse, they release all sorts of inflammatory molecules, SAP factors they're called. It's like they're actively disrupting the neighborhood, contributing to inflammation, tissue breakdown, and those aging markers.
Okay, so they're actively harmful. And FOXO4DRI is studied as a way to potentially clear them out.
That's the focus of the research, yes.
Yeah.
It works by interfering with the survival signal that these senescent cells seem to depend on.
How does it do that? What's the specific mechanism?
It's quite elegant, actually. Mm-hmm. FOXO4DRI is a synthetic peptide designed to block a specific interaction between two key proteins, FOXO4 and P53.
Okay, FOXO4 and P53. For listeners, those probably sound pretty technical. Can we break that down a bit?
Sure, let's simplify. Think of the senescent cell. It's damaged to trigger its own self-destruct sequence apoptosis. The FOXO4 protein is normally involved in pushing that destruct button.
So FOXO4 says, time to go.
Right. But in senescent cells, the P53 protein gets involved in a particular way. It essentially binds to FOXO4 and stops it from pushing the button. It's like P53 gives the senescent cell a pardon, letting it survive when it shouldn't.
Ah, so P53 overrides the self-destruct command in these specific cells.
In this context, yes. So what FOXO4DRI is designed to do in research models is to physically get in the way of that connection. It disrupts the binding between FOXO4 and P53.
It breaks the link that provides the pardon.
Precisely. By messing with that interaction, researchers can study what happens to senescent cells when their survival pathway is interrupted. The hypothesis is that it might push them back towards apoptosis, the cleanup pathway they avoided.
That seems incredibly specific, a very targeted tool for research. What are the main ways labs are using it?
Well, its biggest use is obviously in cellular senescence models. It's become a kind of benchmark for studying how to clear these dysfunctional cells in controlled environments.
Makes sense.
We also see it used quite a bit in tissue regeneration experiments. The idea here is that if you can reduce the burden of senescent cells in a tissue sample, maybe the remaining healthy cells can function better or regenerate more effectively. Some studies in cell lines show improved tissue markers after using it.
So clearing out the junk helps the good stuff work better.
That's the concept being tested. And naturally, this links directly to age-related function decline studies. Researchers looking at markers of brain aging or muscle wasting or organ decline use FOXO4DRI to investigate how much of that decline is actually driven by the accumulation of these senescent cells.
Trying to tease apart the role of senescence in aging.
Exactly. And finally, because its mechanism is so specific disrupting that FOXO4P53 link, it's also a valuable tool for studying the fundamental molecular signaling pathways involved in apoptosis, DNA repair, and how cells respond to stress.
Okay, this is really fascinating. So we have these two peptides being studied for very different yet potentially complementary reasons. Epithelon for maintaining the cell's lifespan potential via telomeres.
Right, supporting the infrastructure.
And FOXO4DRI for clearing out the dysfunctional cells that accumulate and cause problems.
Exactly. Taking out the trash, so to speak.
When you put it together like that, it starts to form a compelling picture for longevity research, doesn't it?
It really does. If you connect this back to the bigger picture, we discussed those multiple drivers of aging well, combining telomere support with senescent cell clearance addresses two really major factors.
You're tackling both the lifespan limits and the problematic buildup.
That's the idea. It's like realizing it's not enough just to keep an old car running. You also have to deal with the rust and the parts that are actively causing damage. This dual approach is why there's so much interest in combining these kinds of strategies in experimental models.
And where are researchers seeing the most interest for this combined theoretical approach?
We're seeing it explored in studies looking at tissue regeneration, muscle performance markers, neurodegenerative models, metabolic health, even DNA repair capacity. The early results, especially in cell lines and some animal studies, hint that hitting aging from multiple precise angles might be way more effective than trying to find one single magic bullet pathway.
That makes intuitive sense. But going back to the precision needed here, disrupting one specific protein link or modulating one enzyme, the accuracy of the tool itself must be paramount.
Oh, absolutely. Non-negotiable. If you're trying to study such a precise molecular mechanism, your peptide tool has to be incredibly pure and exactly what you think it is.
Because any impurities could mess up the results.
Completely. The text highlights this: even tiny amounts of contaminants could skew the data, make results impossible to replicate, and basically waste months or even years of research effort. This is why the source of these compounds is so critical for researchers.
Which brings us to suppliers like BC9, mentioned in the intro. What makes a supplier like that reliable for this kind of high-stakes research?
It really boils down to rigorous quality control that has to match the sophistication of the science itself. Researchers absolutely need high-purity, lab-grade compounds. That means the supplier has incredibly strict purification steps and verification processes, like HPLC and mass spec analysis, to confirm identity and purity.
So you know exactly what you're working with.
Precisely. If you're studying that FOXO4P53 interaction, you need absolute confidence that only the FOXO4DRI peptide is present to potentially cause the effect you observe.
And consistency must be huge, too, for comparing results across different labs or experiments.
Crucial. That's why things like transparent quality control are important relations. Researchers often need access to the actual analytical data, the certificate of analysis, for the specific batch they're using. And suppliers need batch-to-batch consistency. You know, a study done today should, in theory, yield comparable results to one done 6 months from now using a new batch of the same peptide. That consistency is the foundation of reproducible science.
Are there other factors like how they're handled or stored?
Yes, definitely. Things like secure packaging and stability controls matter a lot. Peptides can be delicate. Proper packaging, often involving things like lyophilization, freeze drying, and temperature control during shipping, preserves their structure and function.
And finally, the fact that these are explicitly for research.
That's also key. Reputable suppliers emphasize the research-only positioning. These compounds are sold exclusively for laboratory investigation, not for human use. That maintains focus on the scientific application and avoids misuse.
Okay, this has been incredibly insightful. So to wrap up the core science, Epiphalon, focusing on telomerase modulation and cellular maintenance, and FOXO4DRI, targeting senescent cells via that signaling interruption, they represent two powerful, distinct avenues for researchers exploring the basic mechanisms of aging.
They really do. And they offer complementary tools to probe these fundamental processes. But it raises a really important point, you know.
Yep.
Well, as interest in longevity science just keeps exploding, the demand for these ultra-high-purity, research-grade peptides is stronger than ever. We're talking significant investment and this intense focus on quality control, purely to make sure the science itself is solid and repeatable.
So the quality of the tools dictates the quality of the potential breakthroughs.
Absolutely. It makes you wonder, doesn't it? What does this massive emphasis on the perfect starting compound tell us about the future of real, accurate longevity science? It suggests pretty strongly, I think, that the entire foundation rests squarely on the integrity of these molecular tools. Something for you to mull over, perhaps, next time you read about a seemingly major breakthrough in aging research. How much did the purity of the tools matter?